Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's October 4th, 2013. Let's all just take a breath. I think Chris Fabry has this whole thing where he goes through each and every Friday where he tells everyone, okay, let's do this practice. I forget what he calls it. It's like the Fabry sigh or something where he wants to oxidate your lungs. And I don't know. I've heard him a number of times say it. But let's thank God that he's put life breath into each and every one of us, that we have a day ahead of us that we can serve him and know him and serve others and read his word and be attentive to his prodding and leading, walk in step with his spirit. I mean, what a privilege to be a follower, a disciple, an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. So both Jason and I, after praying up this program, I believe energized because we've invited God to be a part of it. Of course, he's already a part of it, but we want him to work supernaturally through something that's said and shared. And if you were tuned in Wednesday, how we ever even got to where we got on talking about children and parenting and honoring your family and your kids was not anything we designed or talked about. Actually, I had a whole agenda of different things I wanted to highlight with past programs this week and some of the things that have gone on. But we started talking about Jacob and different words of affirmation that we can speak into our children or children that we come in contact with and how to model and draw them closer to God through our actions, through our recommendations, through godly counsel, through reading through the Proverbs. And we talked about, hey, start the practice of reading a proverb each and every day, a chapter of Proverbs. There's 31 of them, so most months or three quarters of the month are 31 days, so you can go through the book of Proverbs in 1 month. And if it's only 30 days, then read two on a specific day. But on Wednesday, which was the second, we said, hey, if you haven't started this practice Tuesday, the first day of October, then read two Proverbs on Wednesday and then just go through and each and every day read a proverb. So say today you're saying, oh, I've never heard about that. Start the practice. I've done it many times throughout the years and began it this month just because of how Jason was explaining certain things about it. I thought I need to do that again. So this being the fourth, you would read the fourth chapter of Proverbs and just ask prior to reading it that God will enlighten your mind and heart to glean specific truths that can be put into your life or something that might be helpful as you dwell on it and think about it and wrestle with it that'll be used to bless somebody else. And so how about doing that today? I don't think I have any other announcements. I mean, there's a lot of things I could reference or refer to. Maybe one last thing. Hey, a week from today, Jesus is the Way Prison Ministries is holding their Higher Ground fundraising banquet. It's October 11th. It begins at 6 p.m. at the Holiday Inn in Urbana. I'm attending. I'm a part of the program. And they have a special guest speaker, Christopher Ewan. And he's got a phenomenal testimony. I've heard him on the Moody Broadcasting Network. He travels around the country and parts of the world sharing his story. Basically, he was this sharp Chinese student going to college and learning. I think he went to dental school, got a position, and then started dabbling in drugs and then found himself engaged in homosexual practices and really making a mess of his life, and I think getting incarcerated and jailed for dealing drugs or some other misdeeds. And now, you know what? Through God's redemptive power and glory and unique work in his life and him surrendering to God, he's a faculty member, a teacher, a professor at the Moody Bible Institute. Oh, wow. I mean, talk about contrast. And now sharing his story, and so much healing has taken place, and the hope that he can provide so many parents, because his mom and dad continued to pray for him, continued to intercede and hold up godly character and a banner for him to follow. And through their love and through various circumstances, he has a vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll be the keynote speaker at this fundraising banquet. Dinner starts at 6 p.m. The doors actually open at 5:30, and it's to raise funds for the great ministry work that Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry is doing. But you have to call them to reserve your place setting. And you can call Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry at 217-892-4044. 217-892-4044. And if you missed Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, I had their executive director, Dennis Daniels, in the studio sharing about the ministry along with a keyboard member, Bill Scott. So that's Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, which is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Well, it's Friday. which typically means, Lord willing, we start going through parts of the book of Acts. And we left off last week at the very end of chapter 2 as we're talking about some of the important things that the disciples are doing through the breaking of bread, through prayer, through that fellowship, through that calling that the Lord has spoken into them, what they were to do in the days ahead. And so I asked Jason just a minute ago, hey, are we going to get through chapter 2 yet? Because I think we've been camped out here for a couple of months. And he said, I don't think so. There's a lot to share about this closing couple verses in chapter 2. So why don't you read just a little portion of chapter 2, the part that we're going to cover, and then let's just talk some more about it.
Sure. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Today we're going to talk about, remember this, as we talked before, Matthew 28:18-20, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and what? Teaching them to obey. That's why the apostles' teaching is first here. What are these guys devoting themselves to? To Jesus. And now, since they're devoting themselves to Jesus, what's the first thing they're going to do? Teach people to obey. To obey what? The Word of God. And then along with that, fellowship, the gathering together. Because teaching is worthless if you don't have people there to learn and to fellowship and to rub arms and to live it out. Then they break bread together. And then there's also prayer covering over. It comes last in the list, but not least. In fact, that's why we talked about it first last week, was that prayer covering over everything, that the last thing we should do is always the first thing we should do, which is what we should always do, which is to pray. But today I want to talk about teaching, because I think that teaching is an interesting one, because I think that we all love teaching, at least a fair amount of us. We love to hear a good sermon. We love to hear a good message. And in fact, this radio station has tons of great teaching all day long. I mean, there is everybody, you know, Dr. David Jeremiah, Erwin Lutzer, I mean, to name just a few. There are great teaching all the way around on this radio station. But when I want to know about great teaching, I go to the Bible. I don't go to people, because, again, as we talked about when we discussed prayer last week, why do I want to go to someone else or something else when I can go to the source, and the source being God? And when I talk about teaching, what I really love is I love the story in Nehemiah, and it begins in chapter 8 of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is wonderful. Nehemiah comes back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And really, in kind of a miraculous way, God makes this all happen. He rends the heart of a king who openly does these things for just a simple cupbearer. The cupbearer was probably a bigger position in the kingdom than we really knew, because the cupbearer was in charge of making sure the king didn't drink poison. But the cupbearer was also, by this nature of what his job was, momentary. I mean, he could get a bad cup of something and boom, he's done. But God rends the heart of this king, and this king gives the cupbearer, Nehemiah, everything he needs to go back to Jerusalem and do these things. But in chapter 8, we see Ezra come on, and we read the book of Ezra, but we see Ezra come on the scene. And Ezra brings with him the Torah. You know, and what's fascinating is, if we read the prophets and what the prophet says, in fact, the prophet Amos in chapter 8 and verse 11, the prophet says, "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." And I think that we live in such a time as that right now even. I think that there is a famine of the word of the Lord. I think that people are not hearing. I think they're starving for it. I think people are actually starving for answers to the problems of their life. They're looking and they're seeking, they're asking, and they don't know. And the funny thing is that it's sitting right in their hands. You know, those of us who own Bibles and carry around Bibles, the answers are right there, the opportunities to open it up and be able to be taught. But, you know, Jesus said in the Gospels that every student will be like his teacher. Well, who is your teacher? Mm-hmm. Your teacher, first and foremost, ought to be Jesus. Because you go to the Word and you allow the Spirit to convict you and to open you up and to look into the places that you wished that he wouldn't look. Because those are the places that need the most work. And so I think that the prophet Amos hits the nail right on the head. Because everywhere I look, I see a deep hunger amongst God's people. Especially those people who have never heard a word of the Lord. Those people who don't know Jesus. Therefore, we ought to know the Word so that we can share effectively the Word with people, because there are people who are hungry. You know, there are people who are hungry. There's a reason why the apostles devoted themselves to the teaching of the word of the Lord, because people were hungry. They were in the midst of a famine called Judaism, where they only knew God this much. You know, as if they were getting crumbs off the table instead of being able to be invited to, what does Jesus call it? The banqueting table. Jesus calls it the feast, the wedding party. You know, instead of being invited to that, they were just, you know, they get the little pointy, you know, kid's birthday hat, and that was acceptable for their following of God, instead of the fullness of what God invites us to come into. But we can't come into it. There is a cost for everything we do. There's a cost for following Jesus. Jesus said that to us because he told people, count the cost. Doesn't a man, before he decides to build a tower, sit down and figure out what it is he needs to build that tower? Doesn't a king, before he comes against an army, sit down and count the cost? We have to count the cost, because following Jesus means that we have to effectively get into his word. We have to understand and navigate who he is. We have to allow him to speak to us.
And I think you've said this on other occasions. You also have to give up other things. I mean, to put a priority on something, whether it's reading God's word, might mean you need to turn the TV off. You need to put the newspaper down. And isn't there also something where we place our affections, or where you put our priorities, our affections will follow? And so if you don't value or believe that there's good things in the Bible, then you won't put it as a priority, and then your feelings and emotions won't follow that, and so you'll continue to put it off. But how do you help the person say, but when I read the Bible, it's a little dry, you know, the teaching out of it's hard for me to understand? How do you recalibrate that person to say, okay, I'm going to give God a chance. I want to read the Bible. I want to fall in love with it. I want to discern and understand it, but it doesn't seem to be happening for me.
Yeah. That's why I believe that here in this passage, they devote themselves to the teaching, and directly after that is fellowship. It's a gathering of people where you discuss and you discern and you understand. We have to remember the culture that this comes out of. The culture is a very Jewish wrestling culture, a culture where they would get the word of God in their hands and they would begin to try and figure out together what it means to follow God. See, we're so used to following God through his word by coming in on a Sunday morning and sitting down in a chair and attentively looking forward, laughing at the right joke, amening at the right other moments. You know, we're used to that. That's not the way many cultures work in terms of how they engage their faith when the word of God is opened. And so I believe that that's why right after devoting themselves to teaching, we see fellowship, because if we're not in fellowship, we're going to get lost in the murky and in the muck of what God's word is, because God's word is so expansive and so deep. And it is, you know, when you open it up, you're like, wow, how do I ever get through? Like, how do I ever even see into this or see towards the end of this? This is difficult and this is hard. And Jesus said that, didn't he? Didn't Jesus offer a teaching to a multitude of people? And afterwards they said, this is hard teaching. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of them left. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, are you going to leave too? Because you know what? There is teaching in the Bible that is incredible. There's teaching in the Bible that when I read it, I grit my teeth because it is tough. And people who tell me, nah, that's not true, there's nothing in there that's tough, then I go, I don't know if you're really reading it then, because there is stuff in there that is really tough. There's stuff in there that is hard to reconcile. But you know what? It's truth. And somebody said to me a number of months ago, or maybe it was a year ago, they said, our attitude towards God is evident in our attitude towards God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because God wrote it, God illuminated. In fact, in the book of Mark, it says there is only one sin that stands above any other sin, and that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to give you a red letter moment here, maybe a little light bulb in the sky for you. Who illuminated Scripture? The Holy Spirit. So blasphemy of the Holy Spirit would be blasphemy of God's word. It would be blasphemy. That's one piece of what that means. There's an unpardonable sin, a sin. There's only one sin that stands above every other sin. And that's when you take God's word and you either blaspheme it or throw it away, or you try and stretch it and create it through some sort of origami what you think it ought to say. God's word doesn't get to say what I want it to say. It doesn't get to say what you want it to say. It gets to say what God wants it to say, and what God ordained it to say.
And I'm thinking of that person that's maybe struggling with reading it on their own or whatever. Your kind of recommendation is get with another person or get into a small group and say, hey, let's just go through this together.
Yeah.
Let's just read it on our own and then come together and talk about what you think it means or what God would intend for us to hear as we read it together. So that person, and that might be you today, you might say, gosh, I struggle with reading God's word, or yeah, it sounds like you and Jason love to do it and I don't know why. Call up a friend today and say, hey, they said on the radio today that I should find a friend or two and begin reading God's word. Do you want to just meet over lunch or coffee, or let's just look at the book of John. Let's just see, what do you think it means when it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God? What do you get out of that? And just start talking about it and invite God to be a part of that conversation to help you understand it. And then write us back and tell us maybe some of the new things that you're gleaning and how suddenly you're finding yourself falling in love with the word, because the word is Jesus and God has inspired it for you to understand.
Yeah, and the Holy Spirit, God's given us that. I mean, in John chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Where are the commandments? In the Bible. And my Father will give you another helper. That's the helper is Paraclete in Greek, to be with you forever, not for a little bit of time, not for when he chooses to be with you, not for when he feels like showing up, but forever. Even the Spirit of truth. And my gosh, don't we all need some truth today? Haven't we heard way too many falsehoods, way too many fallacies, way too many things about ourselves that is not true? And this passage talks about God sending a helper, because guess what? We're in desperate need of help. I like to joke all the time. It says in the Bible, my translation at least, it says he's going to send a counselor. Well, we're a people in sore need of counseling, in sore need of help. And so we need this Holy Spirit to come and to help us, to, because he already has. He's illuminated God's word through men. And I would say this, that when you read the Bible, especially when you read it with other people, you're going to start to find out that the people in the Bible are not that much different than you. You know, recently, last week at our church, I taught out of Acts chapter 19. And in the latter half of Acts chapter 19, and we'll give it away. I mean, we're not going to get to Acts chapter 19 for like 10 years. So by the time that, people won't even remember. I'll have a beard by then. I'll be on Medicare.
Yeah.
But, you know, in Acts chapter 19, Paul is preaching the gospel at the Hall of Tyrannus for about 3,000 hours. He's done it over a number of years during the off-peak hours, 11 to roughly 4, 1 to 4. We're not really sure exactly what those hours were. But he was in there in the middle of the day when people would normally nap. So a turnout could have been kind of dicey. But Paul is preaching in this Hall of Tyrannus, and this guy Demetrius, who's head of the silversmiths in the city of Ephesus, who are making all these little Artemis trinkets, he gets all fired up because he's worried that if people come to Jesus, they're going to stop buying souvenirs. So what he does is, if you read that passage, it's fascinating, he goes and finds a bunch of people who are like-minded or at least have some sort of like investment, and he begins to tell them how bad Paul is. He begins to tell them why he doesn't agree with Paul. You know what he does is he's offended by Paul, so he invites a bunch of other people into his offense so that they can all take offense at Paul, because everybody loves to have a crowd around them. You know, some of us, we go to Facebook and we Facebook www.thatpersonsname and we see if we can gather a crowd around us. You know what's fascinating in that passage in Acts chapter 19? It's down, I think, around the 30 to 24th or the 30-something verse. It says, and all the people were shouting, but most of them didn't even know why they were there. And that's what happens. But you know what? Have you, my friend, ever been in a situation where you were trying to do something really good or really trying to do something right or well, and somebody took offense at it and they decided that they wanted to talk about you instead of talking to you, and they wanted to gather a crowd around them and they began to attack you? You know, because that's what happens to Paul. When I read that passage in Paul, I go, man, been there, done that, been there, done that. And that's what I love about the Bible, because the Bible, though, while we would say, we'd read that on the face value and we go, my gosh, I can't even connect with that. I mean, that's in Ephesus. I've never been to Ephesus. He's a silversmith. I'm not a silversmith. I mean, I'm not anywhere connected to this. Yet deep down at the depths, you know, the deepest places of it, you're there. You're right there with him. Because somebody has taken offense at you for the wrong reason, and instead of coming to you, they've talked about you. Instead of coming and solving the situation, they've gathered a crowd against you. And I'm going to tell you what, I've seen enough of those Facebook posts, with those long, long ones that go down and down, that by about halfway down, people don't know why the heck they're even there.
Yeah, I was going to say, and many of us have maybe fallen into being a part of that
sure.
crowd, that mob. We don't even really know why we're angry at that person or why we're, you know, being so mean-spirited, because we've just gotten caught up into maybe some of our friends' emotions or feelings or whatever. And it's like when we sort it all out and think, you know, forgive me, Lord, for jumping to conclusions or just accepting blindly maybe some gossip or some news that we heard, and then we've already imputed onto them whatever, and it's like maybe not even true.
Yeah. You know, I just think about, we do Awana at our church, and I think about one of those, the foundational Awana verse, which is, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Listen, study to show yourself approved to who? God. Not to people, not to men, not striving that direction, but your study of God's word shows you approved to who? God. Because your investment in God's word is your proclamation that you're following him. You know what I mean? I mean, when you walk into somebody's house and you see hundreds of CDs on the wall, you know that they've given their heart to music. Mm-hmm. When you see somebody with a bunch of instruments, you know that they love playing music. When you go in and you walk into somebody's house and they've got paints and canvases, you know they've given themselves to creating art. When you walk into my office, I have books everywhere. You know I've given myself to the pursuit of knowing who Jesus is. But you know what? It's found in God's word. That's our proclamation that we're pursuing Christ. And you know what happened? What I love about that verse is that when you follow Christ, no matter who gathers a crowd against you, no matter who gathers around, no matter who tweets your name, Facebooks your name, no matter what they do, you don't need to be ashamed. And that's what I love in that passage in Acts chapter 19, is that Paul isn't ashamed. Paul has no shame. Paul doesn't even answer their questions. Paul says, you know what? I'm sorry, guys. And he keeps following Jesus. He keeps leaning into Jesus. And that's what we have to do. And we have to do that through his word. And if we don't do it through his word, then we're going to miss, I think, some of the benefits of what God has given us. Because it is through his word that the Holy Spirit convicts and cleanses, renews and reveals. He resurrects our hearts. The word transforms God's people as they transcend time, they transcend culture. Look at, when you read God's word, you're not bound by time and by space. God's word is irrelevant today as it was 6,000, if you're a literal creationist, 6,000 years ago. God's word stands from the moment he uttered it in Genesis chapter 1. And that's the word that we need to pursue. You know why? I'm going to close with this. You know why? Because in John chapter 1 and verse 1, the word pursued us. The word came down. He tabernacled amongst us. He made his tent amongst us. He walked amongst us, the living embodiment of the word. He pursued us.
Mm-hmm.
So ought we not pursue him?
Amen. The study of his word with the Holy Spirit as that counselor. And you might not have that Holy Spirit abiding in you because you've not come to the point where you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we have trained counselors that would love to assist you in understanding God's love for you and having that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a special 800 number. This is free counseling by people that have your best interest in mind and will love talking through how to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Call 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.